guys. This is Dave Schrader from Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. You're listening to 10 Renee Graham.
Thank you so very much.
This is Mike McDowell from the Indiana Ghost Crackers and Chaos Tours saying welcome to
chaos and get down with the sickness.
Yeah.
Say your name again.
Stop it.
Try it again.
Miss a show, and if you miss a show, I swear I'll haunt you.
Thank you. That's me, Paranormal Radio, taking you beyond the limits. Sundays, 6 to 7 p.m. Central.
Simulcast on SRN Live.
Did you know that there is a place where strange things happen all the time? Where stories of ghosts and dark shadows are all true? What if I told you that this is a place that is really haunted?
That this is a place
where the walls really do.
Whispers Estate in Mitchell, Indiana, just 80 miles south of Indianapolis. Come play with us in our huge 3,700 square foot home, where ghost children like to play, where the 8-foot shadow figure called Big Black lurks, where the paranormal is reality. Whispers Estate. Every house has a story to tell. This one will haunt you. Visit www.whispersestate.net to place your reservation. That is, if you're not too scared to come.
Hello, all you beautiful people. Thank you for sharing your Sunday evening with us. I have two very special people. They actually are some pretty heavy hitters in the world of EVP. This evening we have a very special show planned for you. First, I would like to introduce Michael Esposito. He is one of the world's most foremost authorities on EVP, a descendant of Alfred Vail, who invented the Morse code, with his partner Samuel Morse and Jonathan Harnville, office manager and assistant to Thomas Edison in his later years, when Edison was attempting to develop a device to communicate with the dead. An experimental artist and researcher in electronic voice phenomena, Michael studied communication theory at Purdue University, University of Notre Dame, American University in Cairo, Egypt, and Governor State University. His education and family lineage give Michael a unique connection to this field of research. Michael is the co-founder of Phantom Airwaves, an institution dedicated to the study and research and education of EVP. Over the years, under the Phantom Airwaves Institution, Michael has participated in hundreds of paranormal investigations over the world. He has conducted extensive research using his theory and techniques in many experiments within the field of EVP, focusing primarily on EVP research. He and his partner, Heidi Herman, have collected tens of thousands of EVP in video. Michael has developed concepts, theories, and testing methods of capturing and presenting EVP using structures and frequencies commonly found in relationship to experimental music. Michael combines EVP with field recordings and related frequency tones of research sites to provide an audio architectural picture of both sides of the veil. This allows him to present EVP to the audience in a manner that enables them to hear the voices more audibly and understand the voices within the context of their environment. Michael is currently signed with Touch Records in London. Many of his works can be found on the Touch website or Firework Edition Records in Sweden. He works actively with noise artist researchers Leif Elgren, C.M. von Hasselwurf, and Mike Harding. Michael's work has been featured in exhibits in the U.S. and Europe. He's featured in the films Dead Whisper 2006, Paranormal Labs, Ghosts, Dead Whisper, a reissue in 2008, Ghost Asylum 2009, The Sally House, Gateway to the Paranormal 2009, Dead Whisper, In Search of Ghosts, The Supernatural, UFO TV Special Edition 2009, Paranormal Labs Presents Ghost Asylum, reissue 2009. It's quite a pedigree, Michael. He's also been featured in countless newspapers. I hear you laughing, Heidi. I know, right? He's been featured.
That's a long bio, so.
And I've only screwed it up twice, right? I think
you can cut the short version anytime.
That's the long bio.
That's the one that my producer handed to me. Actually, I'm glad that it is the long bio because, really, all of the things that Michael has done, and I'm sure that this is, even though it's the long version, I'm sure that it really does curtail a lot of the things that he has done and isn't mentioned. But I think that all of those things certainly support the work that Michael has done and also has given a lot of the history. I think that the last line, now that we've managed to get all of ourselves together, I think that this is very telling, and I don't want to leave it out. Phantom Airways is an attempt to take EVP research a step further, developing a body of work researchers and scientists in that they may use in the future to unlock the mysteries of our own mortality. So I think that that's very, very telling. And I am glad, Michael, that Phil printed me out the long version. Heidi Harmon is his partner in crime, as we mentioned. They complement each other. And for those of you that haven't had the opportunity to meet both Michael and Heidi, it's almost like the yin and the yang, the way that they work together, and they have complementary strengths. And I think that there's a reason that you guys get the results that you get, and that there's sort of a synergy with both of you. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Heidi does work with energy. She's the founder of Essence of Spirit and co-founder of Phantom Airways. She's a Reiki master teacher, EVP specialist, and paranormal researcher. Heidi combines her spiritual abilities with modern science to enhance her work in all areas of the paranormal. Heidi provides healing, guidance, and spiritual support to the paranormal community, their clients, and the spirits. That's something that a lot of things are, I don't know, I think that a lot of groups come up short, that we don't address that aspect of the puzzle that we're all working together to find information on. And this is accomplished by using her abilities to cleanse human and environmental auras of negative, fragmented, and attached energies. And she's got actually a really funny story that I hope she'll share on the air about Michael when he came back from one of his trips. She also instructs people. I hear you laughing again. It is a funny story. Maybe Michael won't kick you under the table. She then will also instruct people on methods of personal protection to prevent future attachments, apparently something that she's not yet taught Michael. It's probably one of her best-kept secrets. Heidi has been involved in different studies of metaphysical studies throughout her life, incorporating what she has learned into everyday life. She continues on a path of enlightenment through clearing auras, teaching Reiki, working with crystals, tuning forts, and reading the... Oh, gosh, I can't even think. Akashic Records. Am I saying that right, Heidi?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I know. I'm funny tonight, huh? I'm not even trying to be. I think I'm like caffeine deficient. But she also gives oneness blessing in researching the paranormal, as well as making beautiful amulets for the mind, body, and spirit, which actually I am wearing one of Heidi's omelets. So this is the way it's going to go tonight.
You're wearing my omelet.
I know.
Omelet too. You're wearing my amulet.
Yes, yes. And, you know, you guys can't see it and Phil can't see it, but I just got the blue screen of death on my laptop. So this is what we're going to be doing tonight. Okay, I might as well just put all of this off to the side and say, how the hell are you guys?
We're good. We're good. We're good.
Thanks for having us on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I don't know that you'll do it again. We're just going to shut this computer. This is upsetting. Okay, blue screen of death, go away. You guys, I see you few and far between, and it seems as though you're always busy going from one place to another. I guess I want to start out with, Heidi, are you willing to share that funny story about Michael with regard to people bringing things home? Because it is a big, I don't know, topic of discussion that frequently paranormal researchers say, oh, I brought something back home with me from the cemetery, and it hung around for days. And did you want to share that or no?
Yeah, that's fine. But lots of people don't even realize they brought something home.
Okay.
Which is the story with Michael this time. He was actually, I believe, what were you, in London?
Yeah, I was doing some work in, Lincolnshire. That's where I think I got it.
Okay. But he was there, and he was doing some work and recordings and everything, and then he came back home. And, you know, telling me how the trip was and everything. And we're talking, and I don't even know what I said to him. He goes, oh, stop it. I just want to go home and crawl under the covers and cry. And I said, what? And he goes, oh, my God. You're just, he goes, I can't believe this. And then I realized that Michael came home with an attachment. I could see her.
Because I'm not really like that.
No.
Listening
to audio. Oh, yeah. He's not like that. I guess I forget to say that.
That's important.
But anyway, I could see the woman that was with him, and, you know, I could tell what was going on. And I pointed it out to him, and he said, okay, well, clear me. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to leave you like this for a while so you can appreciate what women go through. But I eventually did clear him.
Yeah, never let a woman pass up a chance to teach a man something.
Well, I think that we all have things to learn from each other, and
that's right.
It is, as both of you pointed out, it makes it especially more humorous knowing Michael and knowing Heidi and how they work together. And that really is very funny because Heidi is very touchy feely, and you know, it's, you're talking to her and she's got your hands on you, and that's a good thing. I think a lot of healers are like that, and Michael's kind of like your typical guy, you know, hey, get over it, and to hear those things come out of his mouth, even, you know, through Heidi, I was in stitches when she told me that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite stories
of him. I'm interested, I guess, to back up just a little bit, and although I've known both of you for a long time, Michael, I realize that with your lineage and your education, that EVP work is sort of a natural state of progression, but what really twigged it for you? What made you decide that, you know, wow, this is really cool, I want to work on this and research this?
That's
okay. That's okay. What was it? The French fries or the quarter pounder?
I guess the question is, why did I get into EVP?
Yes.
Or why did I think this was a good fit for my progression of growth? But, well, those are two very different questions. I got hit by a car and, destroyed the car and destroyed my leg, and I had a titanium rod in my leg. And they took me to surgery, and the doctor told me that the anesthesiologist was going to take me as close to death as possible. And
that's not very comforting. That's not very comforting. The anesthesiologist telling you that.
I know. We talk about bedside manner, right?
Wow.
And yeah, so the time between he put me out and I woke up, there was absolutely nothing there. And I found myself in a state of depression probably for like 3 months afterwards. It was just a horrible feeling, like, hey, there's nothing there when you die. You know, I was taking as close as possible, and it was just blankness. I mean, it was just really a chop out of time. And So I'd been building computers from scratch,
mm-hmm.
and I was working on things and stuff, and I ran into some work by some experimental artists who were working in the EVP,
uh-huh.
Just based on trying to expand some modules for a home studio, recording studio in my computer. And I decided to try it myself, and the results I got were phenomenal, and it helped heal me, I guess. It helped lead me to realize that there is a mortality, you know, that exists as past mortality,
mm-hmm.
As a memory, if you will. So, yeah, it was real therapeutic at first, and then I started realizing that this fit in with not only formal education, but finally bloodline and
mm-hmm.
and the whole bit. You know, if you realize EDP touches every aesthetic.
Yes.
I mean, you've got history, you've got science, you've got sound science, you've
mm-hmm.
got philosophy, psychology, a lot of times, you know, history, dimension history,
mm-hmm.
literature, I mean, investigation work, the levels that it touches just goes so far beyond it. It's such a holistic field that, you know, it just was perfect for me, and I've been doing it ever since.
That's an amazing story, Michael, and thank you for sharing that with us. That's something that I wasn't aware of. And I think it's very profound in the way that you utilize that as part of your healing. It sounds sort of strange for me to put it this way, but, you know, maybe with your background, with your educational background, and, you know, not to diverge off of your story, because I think that many of us during our journey in life, We come across these sort of epiphany moments where we are exactly where we're supposed to be, and the things that happen not only benefit us and help us work through things and heal, but also help other people. And it's sort of a 1 + 1 = 48 situation. But thinking about vibration and sound, there's a theory, and maybe you can shed a little bit more light on this. They talk about cats purring and how that vibration has something to do with helping the cats feel. And I'm almost was reminded of that in hearing you talk about your work with sound and your physical as well as your emotional healing journey that you went on with this.
Well, oddly enough, that actually lays in both the work that, you know, I started working with Heidi and her as an energy worker. It was early on in my research that I started to learn about frequency and sound as being energy and waveform, you know.
Right.
Hertz, who actually didn't discover the Hertz before. She was a guy from England discovered the Hertz, but anyway, Hertz was credited, a German scientist was credited with discovering Hertz or frequency.
Yes.
This waveform, this is energy. And when the cats purr, that vibration, that energy,
mm-hmm.
actually touches and connects with the energy that are inside all of us. This is something that Heidi's work with Reiki energy work and some work that we've done, some experiments on healing frequencies, and creating sound sculptures in certain healing frequencies to use as, sound source when we're collecting EVP,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a generator or battery, if you will.
Yes.
The connection between the holistic energy that Heidi or the Eastern philosophies that Heidi delves in, and the scientific communities that are typically roll around in, there's a real connection between frequency, energy, and self.
Okay.
In other words, our good, our well-being is connected to others' well-being, which is connected to the earth's well-being, which is connected to animals' well-being, which is all energy. Sheldrake's morphic field theories, in fact, really delve into this. But really, Heidi really was that catalyst for me to really take my scientific explorations into a more phenomenological area, you know, a more complete area. You can't really study the topic without studying the environment the topic exists in.
Mm-hmm.
And Heidi gave me that environment. Mm-hmm. You know, I could study the topic, but I was missing something. What I was missing was that whole complete environment, its existence, if you will.
So basically, most of us that are out in the field gathering data are doing it out of context. We're only looking at one piece of it. We're not looking at the bigger picture. We're looking at it out of context.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I'm not talking about, like, if you go into a house and you're trying to record the voice of someone who lived in the 1800s, mm-hmm. you know, madam, whoever, you know, so you're going there for specific reasons. But I talk about when you go in there and you simply document what you capture
mm-hmm.
without looking at the environment that you're standing in.
Right. That brings me to a question directed at Heidi. Years ago, when we were at Sally House, you were working on some of your experiments, and you were attaching crystals to microphones when we were there, and you were doing some of your EVP work. Heidi, what led you to utilizing those things in that experiment?
Well, that experiment, we were trying to recapture and work off of an EVP, which, you know, this EVP has been all over the place since Michael
yes.
Caput. And it's, you didn't give that one to me, did you?
No, I didn't give it to the gold.
Yeah, it's an Irish woman, I believe, saying the blue and the gold will catch the light. And we've been trying to figure out exactly what she meant. Well, I decided to try and use blue and gold crystals representing the throat chakra and the crown chakra, the higher consciousness, to
yes.
see if we kept using those. And
those are both communication chakras.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the crystals, blue and gold, came in that we were attaching. But so we were trying to pull the energies from those to see if that's what she was talking about.
See, crystals vibrate at different frequencies,
yes.
like the ones that you're wearing, that Heidi put into the amulet.
Yes.
Each one of those crystals has a different hertz level that it vibrates at.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually responds to energy or waveform. So by putting the crystals on top of the head of the microphone, what we were trying to accomplish was trying to draw in particular frequencies that would cause that crystal to vibrate to act as an amplifier to the voices that we couldn't hear.
That makes so much sense. It is so obvious, and I don't know why, you know, why sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees, or the trees for the forest, excuse me. That really is incredibly obvious. Heidi, a lot of times I know when you go into some of these locations, you get very drained. Is that a function of what it is that you're doing, the work that you're doing, you know, doing the energy work? I also know that frequently you'll work on other team members as well as Michael. Or is it just, you know, I'm assuming from some of the research that I've done that with brainwaves, that I'm assuming that you're working on a different level of consciousness when you go into to do this type of work.
Well, first of all, the reason I used to get so drained is because I found I wasn't very grounded.
Okay.
And not being grounded, it gave anything in that room the ability to pull my energy.
Mm-hmm.
So now when I do work on other people, I know to center, ground, and most importantly, I shield myself so that I'm not grabbing their negative energy and not letting them pull too much energy off of me. Plus, working with Reiki masters, when you work with Reiki, you're not using your own energy. So when you channel it, so you become a vessel. You're an empty vessel for Reiki masters and energy to come through you. So then, you know, I'm using their energy and not mine.
Okay, that was my next question. It sounded like you were using some of your Reiki principles in your investigation.
Yeah, when I do my work, I from the time I wake up in the morning, I call on the Reiki master. So I am turned on all the time with it.
So you're implementing, just like what Michael was saying, you know, we're all connected on an energetic level, and you're more aware of it in terms of making a conscious effort to utilize those to everybody's benefit in your daily life.
My thought is, if I go in wide open, like I have done at certain locations, mm-hmm. and I have a tendency to channel.
Right.
Can I do that?
Right.
And if I start channeling, especially if I'm around people I don't know, my thought is always, who's going to bring me out of it?
Right.
So my thought is to go in with my protection and doing what I do, and then if anybody else needs my help, I'm available to help them.
Okay. How did you
That's
guys...
That's why we started the Order of the Purple Sage.
Tell me a little bit about that, Michael.
We started, Heidi and Francis had started a Order of the Purple Sage, which was a organization of paranormal field medics, if you will.
Okay.
Which, I don't know how far off the ground it ever got exactly, but the idea and the concept was that there would be a group or groups of individuals that would be able to be available to field researchers, because if you look at energy and spirit energy, especially if you look at EVPs, I've done a lot of work on microsound theory and really sort of deconstructing what an EVP is based on a persistence of memory. So if you can imagine EVPs, just in a nutshell, being little fragments of sound no more than nanoseconds in length, mm-hmm. but are still in the audible range, and then we compress them together like a vocoder, and we capture snippets of vocation, of vocalization, rather, of words, fragments, partial sentences. These little snippets of fragments of energy also contain personality. And a lot of the attachments that we get and stuff in the field, we don't realize that we're capturing.
Right.
And these fragments that we pick up while we're out there, these little shards of people's recollections, personalities, disturbances, hang-ups, you know, whatever, is something that a lot of researchers walk away with and don't realize. So we thought there was a need for a sort of field medic team.
Yeah, one of the things I've talked about, and I talked about on your show before, is the fragmented pieces, how when you don't clear yourself of these pieces, and like energies attract, eventually at some point, you've given something enough energy to manifest. So all of a sudden, you can be sitting in your home where you had no activity before, but because you've never cleared yourself and you've been in very active places, you brought home this piece, that piece, and all of a sudden you see something floating across your room.
Right.
Because you haven't cleared, and you've just given enough energy to have something manifest.
So basically,
it happens all the time to people.
So basically, when we go out into the field as researchers, we are, without clearing ourselves, we are essentially being little aphid lions, and we're collecting all of this stuff and then bringing it back home, and we don't realize it. So what is your recommendation, Heidi, to thwart this?
Well, the first thing is, before you go into a location, you need to be grounded. You need to be very grounded when you go in, and very, you know, center yourself, ground yourself, and then put up shields so that nothing negative is going to attach itself to you. You need to learn to shield. And then if you're not going to do that, because some people feel that if they do too much,
mm-hmm.
then they won't get what they need out of the experience. But the other thing is to be able to have somebody clear you after you leave the location, or being able to clear yourself there's different ways to do it, of this energy.
I love the idea of the field medics. I really do, the paranormal field medics. I think that's absolutely fabulous. I'd like to get into playing some of your EVP. You guys were kind enough to send us 5 pairs of EVP, but before we get into that...
Actually, there's more than that.
There's more than that? That's all you wrote down for me?
I didn't know if we had enough time.
Well, they said that we've got a fair amount of time.
Okay, we'll play 5 and I'll let you know the other 5.
Okay, so 10 pairs. But before we go into that, we'll want to talk a little bit about reverse speech phenomenon with these EVPs.
Yeah, John David Oates out of Australia is a sort of the father of reverse speech phenomena. And what his theories comprise of is every 20 seconds of speaking, like during our radio show, we are playing backwards. Every 20 seconds, one of 3 occurrences would happen. That A, in reverse, it would complete what we were saying. 2, if we were thinking of something completely different, it would expose that. And 3, if we were lying, it would expose what we're really feeling or the truth of what we were thinking or feeling. I did an album called Messerschmitt with him, which is available on Fireworks Edition Records. And basically, the concept was after World War II, Messerschmitt couldn't make airplanes anymore, so they made microcars. So I took 4 different models of microcar that Elvis Presley owned one.
Okay.
And used the sounds of the actual automobiles themselves and mixed them in with, I found a road rally of these Messerschmitt cars and the announcer. I took his recording of his voice and went through it in reverse to look for instances of reverse speech. There was also an advertisement from England. Just a couple of years earlier, the Messerschmitts were firebombing England, and now they're selling their cars. And in the announcement for the commercial for the Messerschmitt car, the announcer very clearly says, "Boy, wasn't I thirsty." Which clearly means whatever what he's saying at the time, he was really thinking about how thirsty he was. And Mr. Oates had sent over some stuff from Winston Churchill, and I believe Eisenhower is in it, or Truman. And one of the great ones from Winston Churchill is he was giving a speech where he's saying, "We beat the Germans back time and time again." And in reverse it says, "Two rights are never wrong, fear for all."
Wow.
But if you know in EVP, reverse speech is very important to us.
Right.
Because in life, as in death, right?
Right.
So one of the things I found with EVP, and you'll see in some of these instances, is sometimes you'll get half of a sentence forward and the other half of it backwards. Sometimes it'll relate to something they're saying or expound upon it. And with the EVP, it's interesting because of the nature of energy, because of the nature of the actual makeup of what EVP is comprised of as atmospheric sound source. You get a really different mixture of reverse speech phenomena than you do in the classic reverse speech phenomena of the living. So as we go through some of the EVPs, what you'll hear is some interesting combinations. Now, they're time-coded, so the ones with the same time codes, once forward, once in reverse.
Uh-huh.
And maybe we can announce them, play them, and then talk a little bit about them.
Okay, so you want to play them first?
All of them.
And then you'll give us a setup on it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. In listening to you talk about the study that you just talked about, and then also the EVP, makes me wonder how many unintelligible EVP have ended up on the scrap floor or deleted. For those of you that are not keeping your original sound files, Shame, shame. You should always do that. That actually were usable pieces of data. So that
Yeah, I keep if it doesn't sound, if it has human quality to the voice, even if you don't understand or it sounds like gibberish, flip that file. You know, flip that tape and listen to it in reverse. I've had EVPs that actually said nothing intelligible forward, but I was able to separate the pieces, sounded like human vocalization, and then flip it, and it said something very pronounced.
Wow, you're blowing my mind. Okay. We have first here a pair of sound files. So Phil's going to play each of... Are you going to play them together, or you want to play one twice and then the its mirror pair twice and then talk about it?
Both twice.
Okay, he's nodding again. So, yeah, they can't hear you when you nod, sweetheart, on the radio. All right? Actually, I shouldn't be mean to him today. He was ghastly ill yesterday and has only just this afternoon been up and about a little bit. So the first pair of EVP we have is entitled Demon and then Reverse Help Me. So now Phil's lost it, and he's looking for it again.
I got it.
Here we go.
Now I'll play the reverse.
Wow.
I don't like to clean my EVPs too much because...
Right.
It takes away the natural human qualities to it. I think that's very important because we gain a lot of information from EVPs that we can't get from photographs or any other kind of evidence. We can tell levels of fear or happiness or emotion, if they're young, old, male, female, what part of the world or country they're from, socioeconomic class. There's so much information. So I try not to remove any of that. But if you listen very closely, you can hear it near the end of that first one, you hear demon.
Yeah, it was very clear.
And the other side, you said help me.
Yes.
So obviously, and these were actually from Italy. They're from, in Rome, there's a Museum of Purgatory Souls.
Uh-huh.
And, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, a priest collected pieces of, like, books and clothing and stuff that from the 1300s and 1400s and 1500s of people that had died, that burnt handprints, fingerprints, or symbols or whatever into clothing and books to ask for prayers to get out of purgatory.
Okay.
And, so, in it, you hear demons and then help me. So, obviously, if you were to extrapolate upon the EVP, you could conclude maybe that the person or the entity was saying, hey, there are demons here, or whatever, help me, or I'm being tormented by demons, help me, or you're a demon, help me. You know, who knows exactly, but the relationship is someone doesn't like demons. They want help.
No, that's... Wow, what a compelling pair of sound files. That's absolutely amazing.
Physically, that... I mean, as far as sound engineering goes, normal, what we... Not quantum sound physics, but actual normal, everyday sound theory, that's not physically possible to do. Because... a waveform forward and reverse should be the same thing. I've gotten reverse EVPs that say the exact same thing forward and backwards.
Right.
Completely physically impossible. You know, it's a waveform. The waveform's an imprint. It's like a thumbprint. It's unique in all the world.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing. And I do agree, Michael, and, you know, maybe it's just my own personal take on it. A lot of times investigators will spend a great deal of time altering their sound files to the point where, like you said, so much is removed. Mine sound a lot like yours, but those were so very clear, you know, absolutely.
And playing old radio takes away from it, too.
Right, so hopefully people can appreciate that. Listen with your headphones on, listeners, because a lot of times the EVP are going to be much more clear with your headphones on. We're going to take a quick break, and while we're on break, Michael, what are your websites so that the listeners can go there?
Actually, we don't really have any.
You don't have any websites?
What we can do is if you go to www.discogs, it's short for discography, so www.discogs.com, you can see my body of work there with all the albums and CDs and cassettes and Flexi records. In fact, this one was a Flexi record with Chris Connolly from Ministry and Revolting Cox. He did some readings of the Bible about purgatory. I mixed them in with the sound sources.
How cool.
Turned out real nice.
How cool. So they can get copies of your work there?
Yes.
On that website?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, don't go away, guys. We've got a lot more to cover.
Lower your vibrations. Go away, sirens. Say one of our names. Say your name again.
4, 3.
Petunia.
Hi, this is Dave Schrader from Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. You're listening to 10 Renee Graham.
Thank you so very much.
This is Mike McDowell from the Indiana Ghost Crackers and Chaos Tours saying welcome to...
Welcome to the chaos and get down with the sickness.
Yeah.
Say your name again.
Stop it.
Say it again.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, and when I'm not out looking for ghosts, haunted places, and weird stuff all over the planet, I'm listening to Paranormal Radio with Renee Graham. I never miss a show, and if you miss a show, I swear I'll haunt you.
Thank you.
Dusty, Paranormal Radio, taking you beyond the limits. Sundays, 6 to 7 p.m. Central.
Simulcast on SRN Live.
There's 52 ways to murder anyone.
those were the melodious wails of paranormal investigator musician Brendan Shea with Ghosts and Paper Hearts doing the timeless Misfits cover Saturday Night. We have on the radio this evening a pair that works fabulously well together. We have Heidi Harmon, who does a tremendous amount of work in the field of energy, and Michael Esposito, with his scientific background in sound technologies. Together, they have become Phantom Airways, and they are with us this evening. You guys still here?
Yep.
Right on. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Hello, hello, hello. Wanted to make sure I didn't lose you in the pick up and put down. When we left, we were talking about EVP and reverse speech phenomenon. We have another pair of sound files here that you were kind enough to send to us and that we're going to play. Forwards, we have Do You Want to Come? And then reverse, He's a Puppet. Those are amazing, guys.
Yeah, it's and slightly abusive.
Yes, well.
but this is actually kind of an interesting one because it goes back to that energy work and what we were talking about, picking up fragments of energy and manipulation and clearing.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to come? You know, do you want to come with us? She's a puppet. In other words, is it possible that when entities connect, you know, to our energy. Actually, in another release that's coming out of Italy, it hasn't been released yet, I write a lecture on what's called the housekeeper's dilemma.
Okay.
And the housekeeper's dilemma, it actually deals with schizophrenic patients.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is no matter how much the housekeeper cleans, by the time the housekeeper is done cleaning, she turns around and finds the house dirty again.
Yes.
In other words, rational people try and make order out of their world. They try and organize their world that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
If patients aren't able to do that in life. So when we get put into another environment, when we die in our energy, which contains the memories and everything of how to function and how to organize, we have a brand new environment that we have no context of that we're trying to organize and make sense of. Is it possible that when we start to put together and order this existence, that we don't start relating things on a purely energy-based level? In other words, do these entities or some of these entities that are more developed than others realize that they can use our energy
mm-hmm.
form or do tasks that they want to somehow, take utility in our energy from the other side to somehow manipulate or use us? So that's why you have, she's a puppet. You know,
right.
You can pull her strings, you know.
That's actually almost a fundamentally frightening question or concept, you know, because here, forwards, we have an invitation. Okay, from them, but yet, as you were explaining earlier, you know, about the research that's done about reverse speech phenomenon, what the intention is. So that's actually one of the most chilling EVP I've ever heard.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so if reverse speech phenomena works the same as on this side as it does
right.
once we pass, is it possible that we can determine certain entities' true intentions? I mean, you know, we're getting an invitation on one side, and the other side is saying, she's just a puppet, we can do what we want, you know?
Right. Wow, that's really food for thought. No pun intended, right? Okay, your next pairing is reads four words, help with something, and then in reverse, are you back? That sounded like backwards, Phil. No,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that was two together. I'll try it again.
Okay. Did we get that wrong? Because what I was hearing was, are you back?
Yeah, I think that's are you back. What was the first one supposed to say?
I help with something.
Help with something.
Then are you back? Reverse. It's all one clip.
Oh, is it?
It's I help with something, then are you back? It's all one clip.
Okay.
Then I played a clip right after that. It says I help with something. Then you got PASSB, whatever that means. I don't know what that means. In parentheses.
Oh, that's like, I use the PASSB cleaning process on
okay.
it.
Okay.
That's a little note to myself.
Okay.
Is that one of them
that
says the same thing over and
after? No. One says, I help with something, are you back?
One clip.
There's basically, I mean, we've got a lot of examples to go through. I don't think that's particularly. Great one. But what that one does illustrate is it illustrates the attention to, like, I'm like technicians from the other side. I'm offering to help. Are you back? Are you focusing and paying attention to what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oddly enough, one of the first people that suggested the concept of technicians on the other side was a gentleman who co-founded the Society for Psychical Research in England in the late 1800s.
Yes.
And he said that when he died, he was going to try and help out. There's a lot of talk about technicians on the other side and spirits that are attempting to reach across this veil and help out.
Have you come across any other than this particular sound clip that have sort of made you go, I've got some help here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, lots of them. I mean, I wouldn't say a majority of them, but I would say yes, enough to substantiate that is the existence.
So then we can go back to like attracts like. You likely are attracting entities like this, technicians, if you will, because of the work that you're doing and working together. Blows your mind, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I see good spirits, I see bad.
We've got another pairing of sound files. Forward, it says, miss you. And then backward, it says, we miss you bad.
Okay, now that's one clip.
Now that's one clip, okay.
Right. It's all in one clip.
Okay.
Then the next one says, miss you clean.
Oh, so we've got a dirty version and a clean version here?
Well, I guess he cleaned.
Yeah. The one that says reverse is the reverse. The one says miss you.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one says we miss you bad.
Right. Okay, here we go. Next one is miss you clean.
Wow.
Yeah. See, the second one was actually forward. Yeah.
Where was that one taken, Michael?
Um, That one was actually taken at the Witch's Castle in Utica, Indiana. Oh, no, 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 I'm sorry. John Duncan's house in Illinois. Yeah, John Duncan's an experimental musician.
That's cool. That is so cool. You had another pairing also, Phil?
He's a whore.
He's a whore?
In reverse, you're all free.
Wow. So sex sets you free? Is that the take-home message?
I guess. We had to talk to Mike.
I don't know if you guys can hear him between his cold. Phil said he had to talk to you.
All right, here it is. He's a whore. Okay, now.
Okay. This is so interesting.
Now, this one was also from John Duncan's house.
That one?
Hello?
Yeah, we're still here. These are all so very interesting. And quite frankly, Michael, I've listened to you speak before, and you always, always leave me with stuff that is profound, and I sort of come away from it going, huh, wow. And the concepts that you bring to light sort of, I don't know, cause me to ruminate about them, usually for several days afterwards, you know, just kind of on my mind and, you know, picking up the information and looking at it again. And the work that you're doing with reverse speech, I get it now. I mean, I've listened to you talk about it before, but I don't know, maybe I'm just at a different place right now, but it's wonderful and disturbing all at the same time. You know, maybe it was the particular files that I heard this time. Phil, can you go ahead and play Do You Want to Come Again? And then He's a Puppet in Reverse. Because those really are amazing.
Let me find it. Ready?
I'm ready. Wow. Those are something else.
We have one more now.
Oh, we have one more?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess I can't count.
Satan Sits Here.
That's forward. Satan Sits Here is forward.
Mm-hmm. Then it's got Satan Sits Here in reverse, Christ our Savior.
Wow. Christ our Savior in reverse.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Wow. Where'd you get that one?
That one was from the Witch's Castle in Utica.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up just a little bit. In Utica, is that what you said?
Yeah, Utica, Indiana, the Witch's Castle.
Okay. What's the history on that location, Michael?
Heidi?
Heidi, what's the history on that location?
Let's see. It was something to do with Beef Sister. Supposedly lived in this castle.
Uh-huh.
We got a lot of feedback here, and it's just really weird.
Yeah, but you can still hear the EVP very clearly, or I can probably because I've got my headset on. But that's really interesting. So I asked you guys. Go ahead.
I was going to say there were three witches that lived in this house in Utah.
Okay.
And the townsfolk turned them out and killed two of them. And then. Many years later, in the 80s, there was a horrible torture and murder committed there of sort of a bizarre love triangle between lesbian high school students.
I think I've seen pictures of that, maybe in a documentary. And it's really desolate. It's in the woods, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, very,
that's a
very.
Yes.
Yeah, I gathered that.
I'm thinking my mom's gay.
They're just cutting out some.
Michael has you gagged? Is that what you said, Heidi?
No, I said I'm drinking my milk. Oh.
In reverse
of that.
Michael has me gagged. How did you guys meet? By the time I met you, you guys had already been working together.
We met
at Valparaiso Courthouse. From the museum.
At the museum? That's a fabulous place.
I was holding up a banister.
You were holding up a banister?
Yeah, and I thanked her for holding the place up so we could investigate.
Right on. Well, it's a marvelous pairing, the two of you together. And I'm really thankful that you shared the things that you have with us this evening, realizing that we've only touched the tip of the iceberg, you know, with the work that both of you do, with your energy and also your sound work. Michael, last time we saw the two of you, you were kind enough to give us a CD called Perryville Battlefield. Is that something that I can play on the air once our interview's over?
Perryville Battlefield?
Mm-hmm.
You can play Not the Elephant.
He's cutting out.
We're having a hard time hearing you. You're cutting out.
Oh, the backstory behind Met the Elephant.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Met the Elephant. Yeah, I've got it in my hand.
Oh, okay. Thomas Edison, after that battle of the Civil War was fought, Thomas Edison became a telegraph operator in Louisville, Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And 2 years after that battle was fought, he went over the battlefield.
Wow.
So I included some of Thomas Edison's Mary Had a Little Lamb cylinder photograph in with the EV. And you'll hear Edison's cylinder say, her fleece was white snow.
Okay.
And then you'll hear EV says, the snow is falling.
Huh. Okay. So it's okay for us to play this for the listeners when we're off the air?
Oh, please.
Okay. Phil's shaking his head at me. He's like, Renee, why are you doing this to me?
I gotta change it over.
He has to change it over, so there will be lag time after we're done with the interview, but listeners...
We'll put it on the podcast.
We'll put it on the podcast to play afterwards. So, sorry, Phil.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, he loves it when I do stuff like this, so he's just shaking his head. Heidi, do you sell any of your amulets over the internet, or do you just sell them at conventions?
I basically sell them at conventions or wherever I happen to be or who comes to my house. So.
Okay. Because I do love mine. I mean, this is probably the biggest chunk of hematite I've ever seen. And listeners... I wear this frequently. I got it from Heidi about a year ago. And interestingly enough, whenever I am feeling like I need to be grounded and organized, mentally organized, this really does help me. So I'm not just saying that. It's true. I wear it to work a lot. And I do wear it a lot to conventions, any place that I'm around a lot of people. So
I always tell you, put your finger in the socket.
That's not nice, Phil. Not nice. So Heidi, can you send that female spirit attachment that was on Michael over to Phil? Because I think he needs a humbling experience.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great if I could?
Go, run, hide, run, run, Phil.
Hey, you want to be grounded, I figured, hey.
Yeah, grounded, uh-huh. I'll ground you, huh? So the two of you have some projects coming up in the next year. Can you talk about that a little bit? Or is it top secret?
I'm going to be lecturing and doing some concerts and research in Stockholm at the end of the month, and then Switzerland in October.
That's exciting. That's very exciting. You were at the meet and greet down in Indianapolis last weekend. Do you have any future engagements here in the States?
Heidi and I will be at next March.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be in Florida with XCon.
Okay.
I think it's called XCon. It's, what's his name? The Mystery Inc. What's the guy?
Phil
Blackburn. Phil Blackburn show.
Okay. Can people follow you guys on Facebook? Or they just have to sort of keep their ear to the ground to find out where you're going to be?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, pretty much somebody says something about it on there.
Okay. Well, thank you both ever so much for spending your Sunday evening with us. And I'd like to have you back on the show again to talk a little bit more about the work that you do, both of you. It's been very enlightening for me, although it's been unsettling, and I'm sure, as always, I'll spend the next several days ruminating about this. And one last time, where can people get copies of your work?
www.discogs.com.
One more time.
We'll put a link up.
On the podcast.
www.discogs.com, and then just type in my name in the search.
Okay. This has been Michael Esposito and Heidi Harmon of Phantom Airways. Thanks again, guys, for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It was my pleasure, as always. And the rest of you, until we meet again, stay haunted.
Lower your vibrations. Go raise arms. Say one of our names. Say your name again.
Four.
Hi, this is Dave Schrader from Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. You're listening to 10 Renee Graham.
Thank you so very much.
This is Mike McDowell from the Indiana Ghost Crackers and Chaos Tours saying welcome to
Chaos and get down with the sickness.
Yeah.
Say your name again.
Stop it.
Say it again.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, and when I'm not out looking for ghosts, haunted places, and weird stuff all over the planet, I'm listening to Paranormal Radio with Renee Graham. I never miss a show, and if you miss a show, I swear I'll haunt you.
Thank you.
Dusty, Paranormal Radio, taking you beyond the limits. Sundays, 6 to 7 p.m. Central.
Simulcast.
Did you know that there is a place where strange things happen all the time? Where stories of ghosts and dark shadows are all true? What if I told you that this is a place that is really haunted? That this is a place
where the walls really do.
Whispers Estate in Mitchell, Indiana. Just 80 miles south of Indianapolis. Come play with us in our huge 3,700 square foot home. Where ghost children like to play with an 8-foot shadow figure called Big Black Lurks. Where the paranormal is reality. Whispers Estate. Every house has a story to tell. This one will haunt you. Visit www.whispersestate.net to place your reservation.
Mary had a little lamb, it's quite a slope, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. gathered the lamb its feet white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Thank you.
lamb. The lamb was sure to go.
and then we got another shot.
That is, if you're not too scared to come.